This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I'm thankful the sun has come out, and, you know, I'm just thankful for a lot of things this morning.
Well, yeah, and it's Labor Day weekend, so a lot
it's
of people have
Labor
a long
Day
holiday.
Weekend. Mm-hmm. People are, I would say, are going to take long trips, but I don't think so.
Well, no, not with gas the way it is. Goodness gracious.
There is a gas shortage that won't quit.
Yes.
I can give testimony to it in Dallas. They're out at a lot of places. The lines are long.
Really?
Now, I don't know if they've showed it on television.
No.
The lines reach for blocks.
Really?
I have talked to people who have been in line for over an hour.
That's just too long, because it seems to me if you sit in line for an hour to get gas, you're burning the gas you've got, and at that point it's very critical that you save every drop.
I've tried to explain that to folks. That to go up to the gas station at midnight, there'll be nobody else there, and you can get in if they still have it.
Yeah.
But when you're in the middle of the day, and it wraps around three blocks.
Wow.
You know, you will not have gas by the time they tell you you can get up there, or it will run out just as you get there. Oh, my gosh.
Now, I know yesterday morning I was coming into work, and it was like 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that, and I went to one gas station. The first thing I saw on TV was that they said, okay, there's no gas shortage. It's just a myth. Don't worry. Everything is fine. I said, okay.
I love it when they say that.
Oh, I thought it was going to be great, and I was comforted. And then I got out, and I said, well, I just happened to need some gas, so the first place I stopped had none. And so I panicked.
And well, so, yes.
Yeah. I went to another one, and all of the pumps had bags on them except for one, and so I was fortunate. I got in there and got some gas. Of course, there was nobody in line at 4 in the morning. I went down the street on my way, you know, to finish my journey, and I went by another couple of gas stations, and they were all out. And so I said, well, what are people going to do?
That's what we all want to know. I've said that all these people that are going on those long trips, I don't think they'll go, because everywhere in Texas it seems to be a crisis on gas.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody's got any, frankly.
Yeah.
And I've been told that a lot of the pipelines to Houston, they shut them down because the plants are down.
Yeah.
And if the plants are down, they're not going to be able to process anything.
Yeah, and then so it just backs
up. Stay in the pipeline.
Yeah.
And then we haven't talked about it, but the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, that hurricane was bad.
Yeah.
And the water has gone down some, but my gosh, have you ever heard 10,000 rescues?
I've never seen. And what was it like? Something like 9 trillion gallons of water.
Well, it was over 50 inches. They said.
Wow.
Over 50 inches. Rockport looks like. You know, it was in a war. You know, a lot of those little towns along the coast are just decimated. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then I find out that 80% of them did not have flood insurance. This is asinine. It's insane.
Wow.
If you live on the coast, you ought to have flood insurance.
Yeah, with the history of storms that have come in through there, I'm thinking it's almost a no-brainer.
Well, and what shocks me is Beaumont, the hospital had to be evacuated. Port Arthur, the crisis center had to be evacuated. They put all those, you know, people in there, and it flooded.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine wet? I cannot imagine being in wet clothes for hours.
No, I can't either. It's
just
dangerous.
Horrible.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that there haven't been more fatal injuries that we've heard of. Now, I'm wondering, though, that when the water does start going down in some more and they can get into some of these neighborhoods that are completely flooded out, I wonder if they're going to start finding more fatal injuries.
That's what I'm
afraid.
38 people have lost their lives, and I just, if they would have only evacuated before the water got there.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder why they didn't. Now, they talked to several old people, and, you know, they were just so old, they said we didn't know where to go, and, you know, we just stayed with our house thinking it'd be all right. And they were lucky. They were finally evacuated, but they have no family. They have nobody.
Wow.
And, you know, they went as high up as they could, and that's all they could do.
Yeah, so devastating. And, you know, and the effects happen on so many different levels. You know, you've got the different tiers. You know, when something like this happens and people are evacuated and they go to a shelter with like a small bag of things, and then they're evacuated from the shelter and they have to leave their bag behind, and then literally all they have is any medication and like what they're wearing. And then you start to think, okay, how do I get through the next few hours? You know, I've got to have food. I've got to have some kind of a change of clothes, maybe a shower at some point. And then you start thinking, okay, when I can get through this day, then I can get through maybe a couple of days. And then it's like, how do I get through the next week? And then how do I get through the next month? And, you know, I mean, the whole dynamic of what is important and what we need to get through each day and each hour changes when you go through something like that.
Well, and the amazing thing is, remember, there was no electricity in their houses. So everything, all that went real quick. Okay, even if they could get to an ATM, they were all out because there was no electricity. You couldn't go and get cash to put in your pocket to buy anything. If you said, if I can just get to a store, a Walmart, a Target, if I could get it on other people.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest stories in Houston is the man who owns the furniture stores. This man is a jewel. He opened up his furniture store and let 200 people come in, sleep on mattresses that were on furniture.
Wow.
And they said this is not the first time. He's done many wonderful things for the city of Houston. He also had a little restaurant there. I guess, I don't know if it was in his furniture store or next door or something. And he was able to get food to these people, to 200 people.
Wow, that is
fantastic.
And he
said his house was flooded also, but he had his furniture store, and he just invited people in.
So even though his home was flooded and destroyed, he was still thinking about others.
He thought of everybody but himself.
Wow.
And he told them just come to his furniture store, and he would take care of them, and he did.
That is so fantastic. You know, you hear stories like that, and it just kind of restores some of your faith in humanity, that there are some really, really great people on this earth.
Yes, and all these Texans that brought their boats down there, my gosh, they were wonderful. And, you know, our National Guard went down there. Then they called out the guard from other states. And it's just amazing, all the caring people who've helped these people. I saw them carrying people literally in their arms, on their shoulders. And they said it was so dangerous because not only was the alligators now in the water, but the electricity was under the water and you couldn't see it. And one of the policemen, as you know, got hurt. There was a car submerged, and he couldn't see it. And he injured his leg real bad. He had to go to the hospital. Then we lost a policeman in Houston. He drove into some high water and drowned.
Wow.
So you know, the tragedies are great. They really are. But there's wonderful, wonderful people. Texas, you know, is probably the most wonderful place on earth without going to heaven.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's all about
care
the people.
About their fellow man.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm just shocked how many people it's taken to get them out of the water and get them to safety.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen an outpouring like this anywhere, ever.
I haven't either. And people drove from several states away to come and help.
Yeah.
And said, you know, we need to go and help. And the governor of Louisiana said, I need to go help. They helped us when we were down with Katrina. And he sent a lot of resources over here.
Wow.
He sent a lot of people. I don't even know how many thousand he sent. But we've got a lot of people working all this. The president, the vice president's been here. Greg Abbott's been over there. And they probably all went to Rockport and some of those other.
Oh,
yeah. Dickinson, because they've both been blown away. That's the two places. There is nothing left.
Yeah. And Port Aransas, I think, is heavily damaged, if not mostly wiped out.
And I'd never seen that place called Pecan Grove. I wasn't familiar with it. But it was the one that was right by the levees.
Yeah.
That were going over.
Yeah, well, this...
They were trying to get those people out.
This whole storm, it's. I think I heard that they, and I don't quote me on this because I may not have it exact, but I think I'm hearing that this is the worst natural disaster in U.S. history.
That's what I heard, too. And I really believe it because I don't believe anybody's had this many inches of rain that just continually poured in. I saw houses with water up to the top of the windows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, top of the windows.
I know they were expecting the storm to kind of move in and move very, very slowly. What I don't think they were expecting is to move in and then stop. And then what, three, I think it made landfall three times, or was it four?
I don't remember how many. It was either three or four, but it just kept hitting different towns along the coast, which I wouldn't even think about those little towns. I was thinking of Corpus, you know. I was thinking of Victoria, and Corpus didn't get hit that hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It turned and started east and just destroyed everything in its path. And I wonder how they'll rebuild all those houses if they don't have flood insurance. Insurance companies are not going to cover it.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to take years and years, if not decades, to rebuild.
I think it will, too. It'll take years to either rebuild or remodel those houses.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't be an easy thing, and until then, you know, they've got to have somewhere to live.
Exactly, yeah. But fortunately, this is in Texas, and, you know, if this is going to happen and there's going to be an outpouring of support, this is the place to get that. So
that's right, you know. And I noticed the federal government said they have $50 million that they've already authorized. $50
million. Oh, wow.
That is so much money, I can't imagine.
I know. And probably,
do we know how much $50 million is laid out end-to-end?
Oh, gosh. That probably isn't even the tip of the iceberg compared to what they'll need, you know, when it's all said and done.
Over $1 billion.
Wow. Yeah. You know,
probably $2 or $3 billion, but just to get them started. You know, they needed money immediately down there.
Yeah.
And the federal government authorized it. And if you heard Ben Carson talking about it, I think Ben Carson is the right job, right place, and the right job.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he is a brilliant man. I think he'll do a good job helping all this, you know, with HUD. I think he will.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we have the people we do in place.
Yeah, I'm real proud of the response from not only people like Ben, but also just average, regular, ordinary citizens here in Texas. I mean, it's really something that the rest of the country should really look at and say, that's what I want to be like.
That's right. Said, I want to be like those Texans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, they help everybody. They help each other, and that's what's really going to count, is they'll be down there building houses, you know, helping all this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Baptists also, now imagine the Methodists, you know, they all have programs where they go and rebuild houses, and they go to victims of these things and help. So that will make a big difference, I think.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that all of them, the retired people, will go and help rebuild these houses.
Yeah, I have no doubt. It's the outpouring of support has been fantastic. So
I feel good about that this morning, better than when I saw it the other day.
Oh, yeah, 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 me too. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. This is all about retiring, growing your money so that you can retire happy and wealthy and early. How did the storm and how did the hurricane, how did that affect business this week as far as that goes?
Well, it really didn't. As you know, the people's money's invested. It's in life insurance policies. So that value can't go down, didn't go down. We're trying desperately to close about five policies. It's been in legal a little longer than I would like, but looks like we're coming out on the other side this next week. So we will be getting a lot of people in policies. So we should have that covered.
Fantastic.
And we haven't had any mature this week. That's unusual. We've been having so many, you know, mature. But we do have some good policies coming. We're going to get people in as fast as possible. And people don't understand sometimes when it takes longer. And this is it's subject to the people signing all the documents. Lots of times people will say, I want to do that. 3 weeks later, we're still waiting on signatures.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes people are not as responsive as they should be. So they hold up everything, even after they said, you know, I need to sell it. I want to sell it. I've got to get treatment. But they're just not in any hurry some days. And then some days, I have people that, but in a week, I can close their policies.
Well, that's pretty quick.
You never know which ones, you know, are going to act and act fast, you know?
So for the ones that that really are on it and they're serious and they want to get moving, it's a fairly quick process.
It is. If they'll sign all the papers, let us have the lawyers look at everything, go over the title, go over everything, make sure all the medical is correct, have them sign off on this, you know. It doesn't take that long if they just stay with it. But they sometimes can't keep their mind on what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Or we had one this last week. Their lawyer came to him and said, I don't think it's a good idea. You need to keep the policy. Now, the lawyer's not sick. He doesn't have cancer. So I find that strange.
Well, why would they do that?
He's trying to keep it for the kids. It's not for her.
No.
He's trying to give it to the kids. The kids probably contacted him and said, look, mother's about to get rid of this policy, and we want that now. We want our share. Don't let her do it.
Wow.
So, you know, those things happen. And I don't know what families' considerations are, but I know a lot of them love their parents and say, whatever they need to do, spend the money on yourself, get well, or try. Then a lot of them say, no, we want that money. You know, don't go do this.
See, it seems kind of selfish.
I think it's very selfish because this person is sick and they need help, and the only way they're going to get it, you know, is to sell their policy.
Yeah, I mean, cancer treatment is very, very expensive.
It is, and it'll give you a chance. You may not win, but at least you're trying.
Yeah. So actually, when a policyholder sells their policy, it can produce some very positive results for extending their life and maybe curing them and things like that. So, but in order for that to happen, there needs to be somebody there to buy that policy, and that's where you come in. You bid on them against other companies.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're bidding hard right now. We've lost a couple of them to Magna, the one that has so much money. But other than that, you know, we're getting our share of the policies. That's all there is to it.
How is the landscape right now as far as bidding goes? Because I think you said Magna, usually they flood the market in the first maybe 60, 90 days of the year, and then they kind of back off a little bit and kind of open the door.
Usually they do, yes. Usually they'll back off, and then we just start really producing them. And we've won a couple against them mm-hmm. lately, but then there's a couple of them we didn't, too, because they will get it down to, you know, where their clients aren't making maybe 6% to 8% total. If it's 2 years or whatever it is.
I see. You have a much bigger profit margin.
We do. I mean, ours is 1% a month. But lots of times theirs isn't. And they can beat us if they're not going to give theirs but 6% or 8% because they can bid that thing way, way down.
So if you bid it properly and it looks like it's going to be a 24-month policy, your investors are going to get 24%. So even if it comes in early, they're still going to get their 24%.
That's right. They just got it early. And then it may come in on time, and then it may come in late.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And sometimes people get the wrong idea. You know, they've had four or five that have come in early or on time, and they have one go over. They go, oh, my gosh, I have to pay a premium. And then they find out the premiums are all paid. So, you know, even if it went over, it didn't hurt them.
See, now, that's one of the things that kind of gets my brain thinking when you talk about these other companies like Magna that cut that profit margin in half, or they cut it so close, it seems like if the policy was to go over, that by the time, you know, the investors would pay the premiums, it cuts into their profits even more, and it seems like it's almost not even worth doing the investment at that point.
Well, and I don't know how Magna does that. I'm not sure about their premium stream, you know, how they do that. But you're right. You know, they don't have the profitability we have in the policy, so they have a large risk if it goes over, which we don't.
You leave plenty of wiggle room there, so in case something does happen, like it goes over, there's still a fairly substantial profit margin.
Yes, there is, and especially if you don't have any premium due for 2 years, your profit hadn't changed any.
Yeah.
You know, it's a delay, but it didn't hurt you any. Yeah. And remember, if it's an IRA, it would have been in there anyway. If it's an IRA, you couldn't take it out anyway without a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't matter, really, if it went over. You know, it's the same deal. It would have had to stay in there anyway if it is an IRA.
And the value of the policy, it never goes down. So really, it's just a matter of waiting for the policy to mature.
That's exactly right. It's just a waiting game, and you can go on about your business and work every day and play, and then you say, oh, we got an email today, policy matured. So, you know, that happens all the time, and everybody's really excited when it does.
So for someone who is still trapped in the stock market, when a situation like this past week happens, and, you know, we start seeing the residual effects, you know, businesses close for a while, gas prices start to go up, you have supply and demand issues. What does that do to the stock market? I think it usually makes it a little bit unstable, and things start to go down, and it's not generally a good thing.
Well, they don't know what's going to happen. It's an iffy deal. And everybody's a little on edge because they're saying, how long will it be before gas, the facilities come back up? How long will it be before, like, Houston is a great financial center. It's a big, big financial center for Texas, more so than Dallas. So everybody's saying, how is it going to be affected? How many businesses will have to lay off people, you know, because, you know, they don't even have a home. You know, they can't come to work. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And so all of that will affect, I think, the stock market. You know, is oil going to go up? I don't know. And we don't know about all the others. You know, a lot of it may go down because Houston's unstable right now. You know, as they say, a lot of the businesses that were closed during this may not can reopen.
And this could happen at any time. I mean, when these things happen, it could be fine today, and then, you know, by the time we get to tomorrow, or, you know, be all right in the morning, and then after lunch, you know, the whole thing bottoms out. That's one of the risks with the stock market, and that is a big risk because people can lose a lot of money. The great thing with investing in life insurance policies is your investors are sitting back as cool as a cucumber.
Well, and one of the reasons is, you know, we're not doing casualty insurance. We're not insuring cars. You know, we're just writing life insurance policies. So most of these companies, that's all they do is write life insurance. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So, and they have up money, so it won't be affected, you know, by Houston, which, thank goodness, or Beaumont or Port Arthur. It will not be affected by those because they do have up money to cover this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just different. It's a different kind of investment. There is risk, always risk, but I don't think it's as great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a risk in the stock market, you could lose everything, and people are still feeling the effects from 2008 and 2009 when they did lose everything. Recovery from that is devastating and takes years, if not decades. But with investing in a life insurance policy, your risks are there, but nowhere near like in the stock market. We talked about, you know, if it goes over, you have to pay the premium, which doesn't really cut into your profit a whole lot. I mean, we're talking about a few $100, maybe.
Yes, and our old policies do have some high premiums. Those 90-year-olds and 94-year-olds, as soon as we're out of that, there will never again be a huge premium.
Yeah.
But those are high,
mm-hmm.
And I'm the first to admit it. But if we can ever get out of those, You know, since those, we've never done an elderly person. We will never do an elderly person. We're not doing, and that's another thing. The large life companies that insure those elderly people, we just got notice they're going to increase the premiums on all those people.
Oh, wow.
So anybody that now goes and invests in a 90 to 94-year-old, those premiums can go up in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Now, how would you like that?
No, I don't think I'd like that.
I wouldn't like it at all to get one of those policies of a 90-year-old, and they say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go up on the premiums.
Wow.
You're not prepared. Nobody is. And we write mostly term life policies. You know, the ones we buy are mostly term because they're very economical. They're not expensive. So, you know, those things are really important to us. And we don't want to write anyone over 70.
Mm-mm. Because there's a difference between old and sick.
And we want sick but not old.
Yeah.
We love old people.
Oh, sure.
But they're just not sick, folks.
No.
If you buy those policies like that, you will get hurt. I guarantee it, because we did.
Yeah, and you don't even offer those anymore, so that's not even an option.
It's not an option with us, but there's people still doing it. There's people still buying those old things.
Wow.
And they shouldn't be doing it to people.
No, those could go on for God knows how long, 10, 20 years.
Well, I hope they don't live that long, but I mean, they could live a long time, and you have no profit because it's just too high.
Yeah.
So we stop it at 70 because a lot of these companies are going to go up on the people 73 and up.
Wow.
They're going to consider 73. And we got notice of that this week.
Wow.
And it wasn't all the life companies, but it was several. So we want to be sure we're not involved in that
So that's one of the risks with investing in a life insurance policy. There's two more.
Well, that's right. One of them is if a person is not an accredited investor and they invest money, they could come back and say, oh, my gosh, we've got a little emergency. We need that $50,000. So we do not want to do non-accredited. We do not. We want to be accredited. We want them to have money in other IRAs or 401ks. We want them to have CDs at the bank or money in the bank, okay?
So you're going to make sure that they have plenty of money to live on in case something happens because you cannot get to it. This is not a liquid type of investment.
That's exactly right. You cannot get to it till it matures. So we don't want you to get hurt. So we make sure that you are accredited. And, you know, the rules have changed. And, you know, we no longer take $50,000. Small investors, we cannot do that. It's got to be an accredited investor that's sophisticated. And the government says you're sophisticated if you're worth $1 million or you have $200,000 in income per year. And you cannot use your house as one of your assets in Texas. I could somewhere else, but you cannot.
Your main residence. Now, if you have, like, rental houses or rental property, okay.
Every rental house and their income, we would count. If you have two or three ranches, we'd count them. If you've got a 401k or two or three old 401ks, we would count that. So we want to count everything that will help you, but not your house.
So, and I guess, and I'm just assuming here that I guess the reason that these other types of properties and assets qualify is because if some kind of a devastating something happens, they can always liquidate those.
Yes, your 401k, you can borrow against it if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over 59 and a half, it won't cost you anything.
Yeah.
If you're under 59 and a half, they will charge you a penalty. And then the government will charge you taxes.
Ooh.
But most of them have got emergency money in the bank. And if you've got emergency money, there's not a problem. They also have group insurance. So that helps them. They've got all kinds of little perks that really would help.
So the takeaway from this is that when you're doing a type of investment in a life insurance policy is not a paycheck. It's a long-term investment. It's part of, and when we say long-term, it's all relative because we're talking generally these policies, what, 24 months on average?
Yes, ours average out 24 months.
Okay.
So every 2 years or 18 months, you can take the money if you have an emergency and take it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to buy a new pickup, you can do that. As I always say, most people leave it in there for years, and then they just start drawing money on it, you know?
Yeah.
They'll say, okay, I need $60,000 a year, $80,000 or $100,000, whatever. And they start taking it out at 65 or 67, somewhere in there.
And so that's part of the long-term plan. That's part of the long-term retirement idea. You want to retire at this age. You're currently at this age. Here's how aggressive or non-aggressive we need to be. Here's how much we need to put away. Here's the types of policies we need to invest in to make sure that we grow our money so that when you do decide to retire, you've got plenty of money. And what happens, I believe, is that when most people do retire, they keep investing. It's not like they retire at 62 or whatever age, and then all of a sudden they just stop investing. They're still growing their money even afterwards.
That's exactly right. They just start taking income. Some of them are taking interest only, and that's the best way. If we have done good by them, they've got enough interest, they can just take interest only for a long time and without getting into the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends how much they've made. We hope they don't have to get into the principal.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to live 20 to 25 years, probably.
Yeah.
And they might even live to 90. Who knows?
Yeah, the kind of policies that you stay away from.
That's right. We don't want any of their policies at that age.
No.
Day.
No. So we've gone. The policy may go over, and you may have to pay premiums.
That's right.
You have to be accredited. What's the third risk?
Well, the third risk, what if a life insurance company ever went under? We've never had one here in Texas go under, but it's always a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
It's the smallest risk of all, okay? That's it. That's your third risk.
So just to play devil's advocate here for a second, let's just say hypothetically an insurance company goes under, what would happen? Would somebody swoop in and rescue
it? They would buy it before the sun sets.
Okay, so somebody would come in and get it.
Well, they're so valuable. They have all that premium income. If they didn't have all that income, they wouldn't be so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But they have huge amounts of premium income that everybody would love to buy. And this gives them a chance to do so. Also, the state would say within 6 months, we need to have it sold, and they would.
Okay. So really, it's yes, it's a risk. We have to mention it. But it's not anything to lose sleep over.
I think that's the smallest risk of all.
Okay.
The first risk is greater. You need to have money if a policy goes over. If you don't have $1,000 or $2,000, $3,000, you shouldn't be in this.
Yeah.
If you've cut it that short and you don't have any money, this is not for you.
Yeah, and there are some people that don't they either don't qualify or they're not comfortable with it, and that's okay. I mean, this is not for everybody for a number of reasons.
That's right. This is for, as the state says, a sophisticated investor.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have accumulated $1 million, so they know you've got to be smart. So you have to have $1 million. Invested in houses and oil and gas and farms, ranches, whatever. Or you can have $200,000 a year in income.
Now, when you present these policies for people to invest in, you've already gone through, and I know we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but you don't take policies of folks who are simply elderly and healthy. That's not going to cut it. But when we're talking about somebody who is sick, what types of things are you looking at?
They must have a type of cancer. I think we have bought two ALS policies, and I think that's it. But the rest of them all have cancer. Usually pancreatic cancer is the fastest. Colon cancer is the deadliest. But, it needs to be a stage 4 cancer. Can't be stage 2 or 3. Unless it's that one that only goes to stage 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got to be something that we know our clients can collect in a short period of time. 2 years, 2.5 years, or 11 months. It doesn't matter. They have to be able to collect. And so that's why you have to do it that way.
Yeah, you don't want to drag this out 10, 15 years.
No, and we read about it. We study it. We make sure. We read all the facts. How many doctors have they seen? Is it metastasized? Is it in the liver? Is it in the stomach? Is it in 3 or 4 places? What all have they done to this person? We read it all.
So how do you know somebody doesn't come in and say, oh, I've got stage 4 cancer, I want to sell my policy, just take my word for it? How do you know somebody...
No, it has to. These have to be doctor's statements at the various hospitals. And they sign off on it saying, this is what we believe. We believe that they've got 20 months. We believe, according to the statistics, they're going to live 18 months, whatever. It's whatever that their findings show. And then sometimes they'll say, there's not enough health information. We didn't get enough records to make a determination.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go back and ask for more information.
And I know we're talking about a lot of money that investors are you know, investing here. So I'm sure they ask a lot of questions. Where does the doctor's estimate of how does that fit in? Are they estimating conservative, or are they...
Well, they better be conservative. I think they all are. You know, Fasano will usually estimate outside of what he really thinks it'll be. Usually he's longer than what it's really going to be.
Okay.
And we've done two big policies with Fasano. And, you know, he would say 18 months and it was 9 or something like that. And he's usually really good. AVS, I think theirs is about right. And hopefully 21st Service is getting better again. For a long, long time, they were very good. Then they kind of got, you know, where they weren't meeting the curve. And I think they're back on track.
So you're working with expert companies that don't say, well, we think it'll be 18, when they really actually think it's like 30. That's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes one of them will say 30, one will say 60. In that case, we're not buying it.
No.
If there's a big discrepancy, we cannot buy that.
So they all have to be, so when you get like second and third opinions, so to speak, they all have to be somewhat similar. And if they're not, then red flags start going off and you walk away.
That's right, because you know something is wrong, something serious.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And the website, obviously, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can go there. You can find case studies from past investments. You can see hardcore numbers of what people have been making. You can see testimonials to understand the experience that people are going through, you know, so that you can kind of have an idea of what to expect as you go into this. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia. You bring all kinds of interesting facts and things that we didn't know, things to do, things to put on our bucket list. What are we talking about today?
Labor Day.
All right. Yay.
This is Labor Day weekend. When do you think it began?
1882.
Now, by golly, you got something right. It really did. 19th century. Who started it?
Really?
Who do you think started Labor Day?
Roosevelt.
Trade unions. Labor management people.
Oh, okay. All right.
Central Labor Union and Knights of Labor.
Oh.
Oregon was the first state to make an official public holiday. They did that in 1887.
Really?
Yeah. But if you remember in the 19th century, what caused this? Do you remember the Pullman strike, that famous strike?
Vaguely.
Yeah, all the people that worked on the railroad. It was called the Pullman strike. It was in Chicago in 1894, and the United States Army and the Marshal Service stopped it, if you remember. And after it, the Congress said, we're going to approve legislation, we're going to make Labor Day a national holiday.
Wow.
Now, who do you think signed it? What president?
I'm going to go with Roosevelt.
Grover Cleveland.
Oh, that was my next guess.
He signed it law 6 days after the end of the strike.
Really?
Yes, and he wanted to shore up support among the trade unions.
Wow, so he wasn't fooling around.
He was not fooling around. He was concerned if they did it the last day of May, it would encourage people to protest and strengthen socialists and anarchists. We've got those now, socialists and anarchists.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's when they made it, the first Monday, the first week of September.
Wow.
Now, all the U.S. states, the District of Columbia, celebrate it. Canada celebrates it. But it's amazing to me. They said the first thing they wanted to do way back then, well, we need street parades. Okay, we got that, they said. We need festivals for the workers and their friends and families. Then came the politicians. We need to give speeches.
Of course we do.
Yeah. And, you know, it was dedicated to the labor movement. And it's the unofficial end of summer. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, what is it you do not do after this weekend?
Is this the one where you don't wear white?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You don't wear white shoes anymore. You don't wear white Levi's.
I don't know why, so don't ask me that. It was just a lucky guess.
Well, they decided that you looked summerish and we're into fall.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and so they told women years ago, you must not do that. If you break those cardinal rules, people are looking at you.
So that really is a thing. That wasn't just like a old wives' tale or a myth. That really is a thing.
It's a thing. People will look at you funny and say they don't know the rules. They don't know etiquette for women.
People look at me funny anyway, and I'm not even wearing white. So
you're not even wearing the white.
No.
But, you know, I know years ago, it was white loafers for men came out, and they were gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
But, again, it's the same thing for women. Tradition says you need to start wearing colored clothes, fall clothes, especially after that Monday.
Yeah.
You can do it on Monday, but after Monday, the temperature lowers, and tradition says women don't do that. Get in those colored clothes and start wearing them. Wear dark shoes.
Fall colors, winter colors.
Winter colors.
See, I would think that winter, a lot of times, not necessarily here in Texas, but a lot of places have snow in the winter, which is white, and I would think that white would blend in and look nice.
No, you have to have winter white. Winter white is a different color.
It's a different color.
Summer white is a different color.
White's not white?
No.
Oh.
No. And winter white is wool. You have white wool.
Oh.
I remember when we all had white wool dresses for winter.
Oh.
Yes, but you didn't have summer white. You know.
Yeah, I didn't know. Basically, Faye, all I know about fashion is I like blue.
You like blue.
That's all I know. I didn't know there were different kinds of white.
Do you know what the story is about me? That Faye Bagby, most all the time, has on blue pants. I didn't know that until the other day, and somebody said, Faye, I wore blue pants today to be like you. You don't have on blue. Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know that was the thing. Faye Bagby wears blue pants.
That's right. She wears blue pants most of the time because it goes with everything.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I never had thought about that. But this guy came to a meeting and had blue pants and white shirt. Wanted to be like me. By golly, I didn't have on blue that day.
So you ruined it.
I ruined everything. He said, you know, he just doesn't know what to think now. He said, I've known you 6 years. You always come to meetings with blue pants.
And the one day he wants to be like you, you threw a kink in the thing.
I did. I guess he didn't figure I even had anything but blue.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he didn't know that when he's not around, I am wearing other colors.
So it's just a 6-year coincidence is what
it is. That's right. And he went home and told his wife. But I dressed today just to be like Faye Bagby. And look, she didn't wear blue today.
Well, shame on you. You'll be more conscious of it next time.
That's right. I need to be more conscious of my image. Yeah.
Your image.
Yeah, my image.
You got street cred to uphold here.
That's right. I must uphold these traditions these people have created.
Oh, wow. Well, happy Labor Day weekend then to you.
Yes. It will be a happy Labor Day because, you know, we'll have picnics. We'll still have watermelon. It'll still be good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still have cantaloupe. We can still have chicken.
And I think I saw, speaking of chicken, I think I saw someplace, one of the statistics I was reading the other day, was that the number one thing that people do on Labor Day, I would have thought it would have been travel, but apparently it's cook something outside.
That's right. Texas is big on barbecue, chicken, and beef.
Best ever.
Oh, my gosh. They make a different barbecue sauce anywhere in the world. Now, Kansas City makes good, and I don't want to besmirch that, but Texas barbecue is legendary.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, all over the state. And men compete against each other all the time to see who can make the best sauce.
Yeah.
And who can make those the tastiest.
Yes.
Oh, my.
And if you're hardcore into smoking meat, you don't even use sauce.
Well, I'm big on sauce. I'm big on that.
I feel like I just burst your bubble.
That's right, because all these men make 5 or 6 kinds of basting sauce.
Oh.
You know, I'm talking about basting it on, get it on there.
Yes, I love a good, thick, sweet sauce.
Well, I anything but a hot sauce.
Yeah,
you don't want it. Don't want jalapenos in mine.
Uh-uh.
Or the hotter peppers. No. Don't go there.
Yeah, that's...
No, everybody has to baste theirs with a good sauce.
Yeah.
And I know, you don't baste it till, you know, it's almost done. You know, because you want it to cook just like it is. But then you baste it on.
Yeah.
That's the way I do it.
I love barbecue.
There's not anybody that should not love barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And tell everybody on these picnics, keep the potatoes salad iced down.
Oh, yeah, that could cause some serious food poisoning.
Oh, gosh,
you can get sick.
You can get really sick. And you don't want to leave it out there in the sun setting 3 hours.
No, you don't. That is dangerous. And same thing with deviled eggs.
Oh, yeah, a deviled egg will make you sicker than a horse.
Yeah.
And my theory on that... Again, they make these little deals that have ice under them.
Yeah.
For deviled eggs, and that's what you need. And always ice a potato salad down, put it on the table briefly, and ice it back down.
Yes.
We don't want people to be sick this Labor Day weekend.
No. We hate to be nerds about it, but safety first, of course.
Always safety first. And then have your first aid kit out there. You know, I just bought a new one. It has wasps. Repellent in it.
Ooh,
it
really?
Has bumblebee repellent in it. Snake repellent.
That's important.
Well, let me tell you something. I live out in the country, and we have everything in the world. We've got wasps. We've got bumblebees. Haven't seen a snake this year, but we put out stuff to keep the snakes off the grounds.
Wow. Yeah, that's important because nothing will ruin a good family barbecue than snakes.
That's right. That would not be good. And the llamas wouldn't like them either.
No, I forgot about the llamas. No, they don't like snakes either, I'm sure.
No, they don't like them either. And, you know, we put all the granulated sulfur out,
mm-hmm.
and it drove them away,
yeah.
Like in Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when they drove the snakes out.
And they tell me that's really a myth, but I don't know.
I don't know about that, but that's what they say anyway.
And, you know, we're good with myths.
Yes. It's what makes the world go round.
It does.
If we can talk about somebody, we're happy.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, excellent. So you've got a big Labor Day festivity planned, I guess, then for Monday, right?
That's right.
Good.
We've got to entertain the little kids. We're going to bring the train out if the ground's not too wet. Take them all around. They love the train. And we'll put some of those carts behind it, and heck, even adults can ride in it.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
The train is a fun deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's blue and has a little yellow face on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it like, is it Thomas the Tank?
Yeah, it's like Thomas the Tank.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And they love the train, and they love the llamas. You know, the littlest one in our family is 17 months old. When he's here with us, in the morning, he gets up and starts saying llama. He goes to the window to see him. Then he gets us by the hand, takes us outside. He wants to see his llamas. That baby loves llamas.
And he just starts saying llamas.
And he can't quite say it, but we know it's llama.
How
but
cute.
But let me tell you something. I've never seen a child do this. The other night, he was in the kitchen with me. He goes to the pantry, gets him, you know, one of those little deals of bananas, goes back and is trying to reach the spoons where he could feed himself. I never heard of that in my life, going to get your own dinner.
How old is he?
17 months. He's not even 2 years old.
No.
He's just a little fella, real small.
Oh, that's the best.
But I'm telling you, when I saw that, I fell off the stool laughing. I said, now he's telling us he's hungry and it's time to eat. And he didn't want to wait any longer.
That's driving a message home right there.
It brought it home.
Can't even talk, but by God, he can get his own silverware.
That's right. He was getting his own silverware and his own food. I wouldn't have thought a 17-year-old would have known that was his lunch in there.
Yeah.
Dinner, and where the spoons were. But he did.
He's been watching somebody.
Let me tell you something. They've moved him up to children older than him because he's so smart.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
They told us this week, we've moved him up. And I go, but he's just 17 months. They said he's quit playing with the kids his age.
Oh, wow. He's outgrown them.
He's already outgrown that group. He's going on to the next group.
Oh, wow.
And I told my daughter the other day, I think it's time to potty train. Oh, no, she said, he's much too little. The school said this week, we're starting his potty training. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and I said I thought he was ready, you know.
Wow.
He can't talk, but he sees what kids do, and he can follow it perfectly.
Yeah, he watches and imitates.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. By the time he's in college, he'll be hanging out at the nursing home.
Well, look at it this way. All the children in the family are older than him.
Uh-huh.
He does everything they do. They were doing dance music. He took one look. He'd get out there in the middle, and he'd start doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's a go-getter.
He is. Whatever they do. The other day, they were standing on their heads. He went over and got his blanket and stood on his head. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I wish I had a video of this whole deal.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know a lot about little bitty ones, but I can't believe the things he can do.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. It sounds like he's super, super smart.
I think he must be a little bit smart because I've never seen a child go get their dinner and then try to find a spoon to eat it with. If he was three, I could have understood it. But not 17 months. He can't even talk yet.
Wow. That's probably why he had to go. He's like, I better learn how to get my own supper or I can't tell anybody I'm hungry.
That's right. And he figured, what are they wasting time about? You know? I'll just go do it myself.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that's amazing.
He's pretty funny.
Wow. Well, happy Labor Day weekend to you and everybody that you'll be celebrating with.
Thanks, and same to you.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330.
Now, before we go, I just want to make sure that we cover everything that people need to be doing right now. I know it's the holiday weekend, so I assume you're closed on Monday. Is that right?
Yes, we're closed on Monday. Remember, it's for labor.
Sure, yeah. But you'll be open for appointments and things on Tuesday.
That's right.
So between now and then.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So between now and then, what do people need to be doing if they want to start really planning?
Well, if they're going to come in, they need to get their statement together. Let's see where the money is. Because Nevada Trust will require a statement. They can't do this for you without a statement of your account.
Okay.
So they're going to need that. If you're adding up to see what you have in assets, add everything up carefully. If you need to, you may already know. You may know that you're worth $1.8 million or $2 million or $3 million. So you don't have to. But if you're saying, I don't know, we haven't added our assets in years. A guy called this week, and he said, Faye, I don't know if I'm worth $1 million. I said, well, you better sit down and figure it out.
So you're going to send him home, figure it out, and come back.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Because you've got to add everything up.
Should people put this together like on a spreadsheet or bring in like a big, huge folder of random papers?
No, they could just bring in a sheet saying, we have this much in our ranch, this much in our rent houses, a vacation home. We've got two 401Ks. We've got an IRA. Savings account, whatever.
Okay. So people don't need to necessarily bring in documentation of proof
no,
right now.
No, they can just show us where it's coming from, that you do have it, a statement from your 401k where it's coming from. Most of ours is 401ks. If you're just going to write a check, you don't have to prove that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're bringing a $500,000 check or $300,000, no. If it's not an IRA, you don't have to prove it up.
It's always a check, never cash.
Yes. We do not take cash. Remember, we have a money laundering law in Texas.
Yes.
All across the nation. It's a federal law.
That is important to keep in mind.
We cannot take cash. Don't even think about it.
All right. So, for an individual and for a husband-wife team who want to come in, is there any difference in what they need to gather, or their?
No, it's mostly all retirement. It'll be the same thing, okay?
Okay. All right, perfect. So one last time, for those who want to call and come in and see you next week, what's that phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And Ivy Cottage, don't forget Ivy Cottage, we're right next door. And they're probably open on Labor Day, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't mention it because I wasn't sure.
Well, happy Labor Day weekend to you, Faye. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.